It's summertime, 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 summertime. Well, shut them books and throw away. Say goodbye to dolls today. Put the heart into your ace. It's summertime.
Just depends on the day, right? Oh, man. Summertime is here, and actually, ironically, we're going to talk about some stuff that is very, I think, apropos. You might think it's going to be a little cheesy. You might think it's going to be a little crazy based on tubes and stuff all over the place. But I think it's going to tie in nicely to a lot of what you shared and a lot of what's going on in this crazy life that we're living. And summertime is a great time to talk about God's incredible love and his incredible presence as incredible peace and hope, no matter what we're walking through, no matter what we face. And that cheesy song, you guys know who sang that? The Jamies, right? One of my favorite groups. I'm serious, man. You gotta, if you're married to a Jamie, you gotta know the Jamies. Actually, I didn't know those Jamies till like yesterday. So, you might notice some tubes, and you might notice that it's summertime out. If you drove over the lake, you see a whole lot of people who are missing church to sit on that water, and I can understand just a little bit, but there's some great docks you could park at and come to church and get back on the water, right? But there's a lot of people on the water today in a lot of places. And as we think about summertime, as we think about water, you know, there's a lot of cool places to hang out in the summer on the water. You could go to lakes. You could go to beaches, like at the ocean. You could go to rivers. We're going to do that later today, right? And I don't know what kind of a water person you are. Maybe you're a lake person. You ahead, crank that up, Tim. I need to hear that. That'll help me. Because I'm a lake person. I love getting out on the lake and fishing or boating or just sitting as the boat rocks and rocks back and forth. That loop could just play all day for me. Jesus hung out on lakes. I don't know if you know that or not. He got in boats and went out with his disciples, spent a little time on the lake. But you may not be a lake person. You may be more of a beach person. Sorry, Tara. Bring this up so short after you just got back. Take me. How many of you guys spent your life praying that Jesus would send you to a beach to do ministry, right? I'm here to do beach ministry, right? Yeah, beach. Beach is great. There's a lot of sand at the beach. And then, of course, rivers, right? Rivers have that babbling brook movement, tranquility of the water that flows. There's actually a river in heaven. I don't know if you know that or not. It flows right out of the throne, right? It's pretty epic. River of life. There's a place called Eden. God created it. Remember that? He put a river in it. I mean, I'm not saying, but Jesus has riverfront property, so rivers might be a thing. So I don't know. Lakes, beaches, rivers. They all have an amazing appeal, and they all bring to mind some really important things as we think about who our God is, because they all have, and maybe that's a swimming pool. Maybe, are you swimming pool people? Yeah, I was afraid that's what we got here. Water, right? Water is kind of a big deal, and being around water does some really interesting things for people. Now, water is super important. I don't know if you know this or not, but these studies show us things like this, like how long a human can live without food, roughly a month. They say, you know, 30 to 40 days. Water, man, you need water to survive, right? Like, I don't think it's a week, but this person said a week, I don't know. But after a week, if you haven't had any water, you're dead. Just trust me on that one. Then sleep, they say 11 days straight, and then your body's just gonna die. I don't know. I didn't know about this, but evidently the internet's only a couple of hours and then you're out. So I would recognize that to be legit for certain generations in our group, right? Truth is, water is more like 3 days and you're dead, because your body needs water to survive. You need to drink it, right? You got to drink it. It's got to fill up those cells. I mean, a big percentage of us is water. It's summertime. Who cares about grammar? Water is a really big deal. And lakes, beaches, rivers, I'm just going to steal this river thing today because we're headed to the river shortly. And this river beauty and tranquility, these are all pictures of the White River, by the way. Just don't get close and it looks like a beautiful, beautiful river. But I'm just really stealing this river here a minute so I can grab these three R's, because I want to talk this morning here just a little bit with you as you think about summer and you think about water and maybe the peace and tranquility of all. Tranquility, easy for me to say, of it all, there's three things that I think, man, God is saying to us, and he wants to speak into us, and he wants us to experience that relate really well to this imagery and this reality of water. So I'm going to give you three R words that I want you to think about over the course of maybe the rest of this summer you have, and maybe it'll drive you to some experiences around water. My wife's famous for saying in our house, I just want to like see water. So you know, I get her like a little cup, hold it up. Like, what do you think? It's good. No. Just go to the lake. Just go to the beach. Just go to a dock. Just be around water. There's just something about water. Now, maybe it's because the one who created the water and his amazing creativity and beauty and majesty is still just kind of, I don't know, percolating on each of the waves and bumping up out of there with the mist and you just absorb it a little. I don't know. I'm not a weird dude who's like, touch water, you touch Jesus. That's all I'm saying. Jesus walked on the stuff, right? So, I mean, he used water. But water is from our Creator. And I think being in his creation does something for us on a spiritual level, on a deep heart and soul level. This first R I want to throw at you is this word, replenish. Water replenishes us. Now, if we think about it just from a drinking standpoint, it replenishes us, but also from being present in God's creation around water, I'm going to challenge you to think about it. Maybe take a stroll on the edge of some water. There's something it does to us at a spirit level. This word replenish means to restore to a former level or condition. The word replenish, to restore to a previous or former level or condition. It can mean fill up again or something, you know, if you're at McDonald's, called a refill, right? We go back up when our cup is empty and we hit that machine and we refill our cup. Well, that's a picture, I think, of what God does in his creation in this area of water, but not just physical water. And it's really kind of an image and it's a picture of who he is to us, that he is the one who replenishes our spirit and our soul. And water maybe gets the credit for some of it sometimes, but it's not the water, right? It's him. Replenish, to restore to a former level or condition, to fill up again. The Hebrew is tied to this idea of turning back and repair. Now, as you think about maybe your week, it was pretty hot. I was doing some projects with Finn and Jed, and I remember a drink of water after sweating about 17 or 18 buckets of water, and it felt like it filled me up again, that it repaired some of the cellular damage done by dehydration. Didn't fix all the problems, right? But it helped getting some water to drink. And I challenge you that, like, man, going and sitting on a boat or walking at the beach or just sitting, having a picnic lunch on the shore of a lake and just watch and listen to God's creation around us, man, it has this repairing and this restorative element to it. It just kind of speaks hope and it speaks peace and simplicity and it speaks life to us. But I don't think it does it because in and of itself, it's trying to draw us to get wet. But I think what it's doing is it's drawing us to our Creator. It's drawing us to our Father. Because Jesus wants to replenish us. He wants to restore to a former level, right? Originally, before sin, we were in relationship with God and things were perfect. And now we walk through this damaged life of sin and suffering, and we've talked about illness and suffering and issues today on all kinds of fronts. Those are a result of sin. Those are not part of our former condition. But Jesus wants us to experience in relationship with him the repairing of what sin has done, the restoration and the healing, right? He wants to fill back up. He wants to restore to a former level that which has been lost because of sin. Hear the words of Psalm 23. If you've ever been to a funeral, I did one on Monday for some friends and got to read the 23rd Psalm, and just pausing and marinating in that and remembering how powerful that picture is that God calls us to in the 23rd Psalm. You have to do it in the King James. I'm not going to do King James all the time, just so you know, because I don't understand it. It's very complicated. I'm not that old. Some of you guys were there when they wrote it. I get it, but I don't understand it all. I'm just kidding. It's just a bad little joke. Sorry, Lamar. Okay, the 23rd Psalm. I know, I couldn't help myself. I've been on vacation a little bit. You know, I just got easing back in. Hear these words of the 23rd Psalm. If you've been at a funeral, you've heard them. You've probably heard it, some weird voice, eloquence at some point in time in your life. But just listen to the words of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest for me a table. Did I say that right? Thou preparest a table before me, in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Right. Is it raining out there, Josh? See, you should be at church, not on the lake. You'd be rained out this morning. Cha-ching, let's go. All right, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to break the mood of the 23rd Psalm. But did you catch what God says here? Way back at the beginning, first couple verses, did you catch this? He said, he leadeth me beside the still waters, and he restoreth my soul. There's a picture in this psalm that we use all the time at funerals when there's great loss and suffering and hardship, and we just want to be reminded that the Lord is our shepherd who loves us, who cares about us, who draws us, and who leads us. And where does he lead us? To green pastures and beside the still waters to just breathe and be replenished in spirit, right? What a picture that is of replenishing us, to restore to a former level or condition, to be filled back up again. How? How do we get filled back up again? Well, you go to the still waters, right? And what is this pointing us to? The river. No, even though I want you all to come and join us on a crazy afternoon, no, it's pointing us to go to him, right? He is the source of peace, of hope, of life, of breath. And man, I want to ask you a simple question. If we're supposed to be replenished by the Lord, by going to his presence, to just pausing and stopping in him and breathing deep in him. Just ask you the simple question, where do you go to get replenished? What are you doing to replenish, to restore your soul? Because guys, we live in a really dangerous world, you and I, because we go a lot of places to get replenished. We go to a cup filled with a bunch of poison and danger. We go to a plate filled with a lot of unhealthy elements. We go to a TV or an internet or a smartphone to try to escape and find refreshment for our soul. And it just robs us and pushes us deeper and further away from the still waters of the Spirit of God who wants to draw us into him. And I would challenge you to think about the idea of where you're going, what you're trying to tap into, what you're reaching for to try to cope, to try to deal, to try to escape, to try to just make it through another day. Because if you're not going to him, it's all phony, and it only is a temporary dissolving just facade that crumbles around you. And when you wake up from that moment, you're further away from where you needed to be than when you started. God calls us to be people who go to the river, who go to him, who let him lead us beside still waters in his presence, that he might restore our soul. We got a lot of damaged souls, don't we? A lot of damage. And nothing this world offers us fixes that. but we know the source. And we've got to go there. And we've got to intentionally go there and purposefully go there and with discipline and commitment go there so that God can do the work of restoration that he wants to in us. He wants to replenish our soul, replenish our spirit, not with water, but with him. I also think about water regulating. The word regulate is defined as controlling or maintaining the rate of speed of a machine or an organism in order to operate properly. If you don't have enough water, your body doesn't regulate like it should, right? Things in the body like body temperature or organs and tissue protection, regulating blood pressure, plus like 17,000 other things water does for us in a physical sense. Water helps regulate our physical bodies. But going to the still waters of the Spirit of God help regulate us on a spiritual level that affects our ability to operate properly. If we're not going to the reservoir that is him, and we're not spending time with him, and we're not in our Bibles, in his word, if we're not praying, if we're not gathering as the body of Christ to worship and encourage one another and pray for one another, if we're not tapped into that source, man, we are in a bad rate of, do you ever find yourself like going so crazy, life so chaotic, you just wish it would stop, you wish it would slow down, you wish it'd stop just being nuts? Well, the only way to regulate the out of control pace and speed and insanity of this life is to be connected to Jesus at a deep level, because he knows how to regulate and balance your crazy schedule and life. We think we do. And maybe we learn a little idea or concept and we try to apply it and we're like, okay, God, I got this. I'll take care of it from here. And then we're down, careening down this path of insanity. Summer's nice because a lot of people take vacations. And what most people do on vacation is they sit down, they catch their breath, and they say, whoa, my life is insane. What am I doing? This is crazy. Okay, back, let's go. And they do it some more, right? And I just want to challenge you sometime over this summertime to pause at the river and breathe and think and listen and dive deep into Jesus and seek what he would call you to in regulating your life. Jamie and I went away for, our life has been so chaotic. We're supposed to go away for like 3 days. We went away for like 17 hours. It was amazing. And we went to this little camp over in Ohio where we're going to do some awesome stuff for men's and women's retreats. Big Lake, Ohio, or whatever it is. Biggest inland lake. It was very beautiful, like the White River. And But we got some time to stand on a little beach and talk. And we took all these notebooks and all these calendars, and we were just going away to say, Jesus, help us regulate our life, because it's everywhere and it's crazy and we're struggling to keep everything in balance. And we just took some time to be away with him. And some amazing things happened. Over that 17-hour window, we talked about every area we need to talk about. We made like 2 or 3 or 4 big bullet points on every area. And then we drove back home and fought like ferocious wolves with each other. And I think it was because we just knew we had to go back into the crazy. But here's the beauty. We're still in the process of discerning God's regulation for how we want to live and how we're supposed to live. And we're not done. And we're not quitting. And we're going to continue, maybe not to go to Ohio, because I'm not sure that was the magic answer, but to take time to be with him and present with the Spirit to hear what he wants to say to us. And I want to challenge you guys, but a lot of you are making decisions, all of us, making decisions, plowing in life, and we're like, God, did you rubber stamp my choice? Great, let's go. Oh, you didn't? Maybe you will down the road. Let's go. Are you bringing before the Lord all the areas of your life and saying, Lord, what does it look like? The rate of speed, the insanity, the pace, the rhythm, the choices, I need to lay my life before you, every area, and say, lead me in green pastures, beside still waters, and in wisdom and discernment, try to take the steps necessary to walk with him. That's hard to do. Very hard to do. And I'm not trying to say, hey, look at Jamie and I, we got to figure it out. We don't. We're figuring stuff out in this crazy season we're in. But it's been a neat experience and exercise to bring it before the Lord in that capacity. And I'd really challenge you to make space and time to sit at the river that is Jesus with those big issues of your life, that he might help you not just be replenished, but regulate so that you can operate well in this life around you, so that you can parent well, so that you can do marriage well, so that you can do all the different things that really matter well. And then this last word is refresh. Refresh. You might be like, well, isn't that the same thing as replenish? Well, there's just some subtle difference to it, and it's just kind of this. The word refresh means an act or function of updating the display on a screen. I'm sorry, I just want to do that for fun because it's White Rock technology. It doesn't make any sense. Moving on. Okay, so that's not really what it means. It means this, to reinvigorate, which is to vigorate yet again, right? To reinvigorate, which is unique in this sense, it's to give new strength and new energy to something. Replenishing is to restore to its original state, to fill back up again, right? And maybe some new energy is going into that. But this idea of refresh is this picture of new and fresh energy coming into something to take it to the next place it needs to go to. Hear the words of Isaiah. Famous stuff you've seen on lots of billboards or posters or whatever on people's houses or in a Christian bookstore. But listen to what this says. But those who hope in the Lord, those who go to the river, those who spend time in the green pastures and the still waters with Jesus, those who hope in him, what's going to happen? They're going to renew their strength. They're going to be replenished and refreshed. It's going to be new and fresh strength that shows up in their life. They're going to soar on wings like eagles. They're going to run and not grow weary. They're going to walk and not be faint. What is that a picture of? It's a picture of strength and stamina. Eagles have to fly, right? And runners got to run and walkers got to walk, right? Like, this isn't crazy stuff. This is just being able to stand in strength and in power and thrive in the stamina of the Holy Spirit. A lot of us are trying to do things in our own strength and in our own ability. And the devil whispers prideful thoughts to our hearts about how much we can do and how good we are and how much we can grind and what we're capable of. We're dust. We're just dust. And the Holy Spirit and his power renewed in us to accomplish eternally significant things is an incredible and a beautiful thing. Some of us are stuck in situations we can't just snap our fingers and fix. And we can't just alter what we're doing and make it all change and all kinds of things like that. But I want to challenge you. When we seek Jesus to replenish and to regulate and to bring in new hope and new strength for us to keep going, man, he is faithful and he responds to our hearts. And when we reach for him, he meets us there. Shoot, he meets us more than there. He comes way past halfway to us, doesn't he? He loves you. He wants you to stand, to run, to soar. He wants that for your life. And I don't mean chasing all the things of this world. That's not what that's about. But it's about standing in his strength and his power and seeing the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, filled with joy and hope. No matter what this world's throwing at us, there are replenishing, regulating, and refreshing times available to those who will come to Christ, kneel before him and say, Lord, fill me, restore me, renew me, help regulate me. That's not all going to happen today at the White River. No. And it's not going to happen overnight, snapping our fingers. But man, it's my prayer that our church will be a group of people who go quietly before the Lord, sit before the Good Shepherd, allow him to wash over us with hope and with life, with restoration and refreshment. And some of us need that really bad. And some of us believe the lie that we don't need it at all and we're doing fine. All of us need the living water that is Jesus to bubble up inside of us and to sustain us and give us strength to navigate this crazy world that we're in. He is good, and no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, that's available to you. Don't believe the lie. Don't chase the junk of this world. Seek him to be replenished. Seek him to find balance and focus. And seek him for new strength and new help and new power that's available for all of us. Lord Jesus, thank you for the imagery of a river and water and what it brings to mind about who you are and who you want to be in us. Lord, I pray you would examine our hearts and you would see us. You do. But help us to own that reality and recognize it. And Lord, help us to be faithful to the things that you prick our hearts about. Lord, as we've talked this morning, for each of us, there are things that we're doing that we know we're doing in our own strength. Things we're probably doing in a little disobedience, or at least ignoring you. And Lord, there's some things that we're maybe afraid or scared. Lord, there's so much going on for each of us. Father, I pray that your spirit would wash over us with replenishing, filling us up, helping us see how to navigate these days around us, the right pace, operating with great efficiency and purpose. And Lord, that your strength would be made perfect in our weakness, and we would be reinvigorated to go into a world that desperately needs to know you, and that the hope of us, or the hope in us, would shine from us to everybody and impact the world around us. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for speaking these words to us this morning from your word. Help us to not just be hearers of the word, but doers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, love all you guys. If you feel really convicted about all this stuff and you're like, I just got to get to some water, I know a place you can go. 1:30 this afternoon, don't miss it. But if you're going to take your spouse and go for a walk by the lake to talk about what the Holy Spirit might be saying to you, that'd probably be an acceptable thing as well. Just need a text so we can validate it. Hey, have a great day in the Lord. Love all you guys.